And so I'm going to do Eric's part this week, and then I believe David will do this next week, as they'll be gone next week too, anticipation of their daughter being having some surgery on Tuesday of this week. So remember them and in prayer time, and we'll get to our prayer time later. So let me ask, since I'm still learning, everybody, do we have any visitors here with us this morning? Anybody brought in? No visitors. Okay. Well, let me tell you that I'm glad that you're here. I'm excited that you're here. And I've got a list of this class now, and Mary and I will be praying for that list. I like to use, I've taken the churches that we've had pictorial, what do you call it, pictorial what? Albums or directories. There you go. Somebody said direct. Thank you.
Yeah.
Those things. And then, just pray for people. And so I'll be doing that with the names, and I hope maybe you feel that maybe the power of prayer is you feel that presence of God with you. All right. So some of the things that I've got down here that we want to mention to you. Well, let me ask this. How many of you have been to the Christmas presentation of the choir already? Okay, good. Wonderful. How was it?
Awesome.
Awesome. All right. Because Mary Lynn and I are going tonight. I know the Cowboys are on, but she bought the tickets. So whatever happens, but I tell you what, I want to hear what they've got to say, and then we'll go from there. But I'm delighted that you're here, and so we're going to that tonight. How many of you going to the Christmas presentation tonight? All right. Okay. All right. So there's a few of us. Okay, good. So that's going on, and a bunch of stuff going on downtown today too. They're out there racing somewhere around here, I think. Then let's see. On January the 9th, just to give you a couple of things here, and if you've got something that I'm not aware of, please bring it up in just a moment. January the 9th is game day. He's mentioned that to you. That's going to start on 10 a.m. So January the 9th, that's just around the corner. In fact, next week is our last Sunday school class for this year. Because we're not meeting on Christmas Day. On Christmas Day, it's just going to be the one worship at 10:50. So remember that. And then we're back here on January 1, start the new year. All right. Let's see what else we have down here for you ladies. On February 24th and 25th, there's the Heartstrong Faith Women's Conference that's going to be here. Keep that in mind. And May and June, as we look out for the new year, the Hilltop Experience at East Texas Baptist University. Don't forget that. And then the First Dallas Senior Adults Worship in Washington. That's going to be a big thing in June 29 through July the 3rd. That's our wedding day, July the 3rd, just before that Americana Day on July the 4th. All right, anything else that we need to mention, be aware of, class?
We're going to try January the 16th, and Jim Haynes is setting this up, to go hear this concert at First Baptist Lancaster with Dino and, I know, two or three.
Oh, yeah.
Dino Carsonas, yeah. And we're trying to get you filled up, because I think you'll really enjoy this. When we were at Branson, we talked with his, he wasn't ever, they got squeezed by she and her sister, but... He'll be at that concert January 16th, First Baptist Lancaster, with two or three other singing groups. They say it's going to be great.
They don't have any more tickets for people to ride on the bus.
Well, Jim,
you need to get your ticket ahead of time.
All right.
Jim says we don't have any more room on the bus.
That's what I was told at the office.
Thank you, Mitch. We need to talk with him.
Well,
somebody mentioned
right.
to me. No, but wait a minute. We can probably get a bus.
Well, she'll straighten that out at home. There you go. Oh, yeah. I know all about it.
You know all about it?
Yeah, I know all about it. You know.
But I'll talk with him, and maybe we can get another bus. Thank you, Mitch.
All right.
Get another bus or something.
There you go. All right, anything else that we need to mention?
Hallelujah.
Anything else we need to mention here? All right.
Thank God for the weather.
There you go. Yeah. 70 today, I think.
Oh, pray for Dwayne Clark's service tomorrow.
Oh yeah, Dwayne is having surgery tomorrow. We'll mention that in our prayer time. And you know, and Larry, I want to say thank you to Larry and Janice too. We hardly know them, and I talked to Larry just a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me that he'd been doing this for 20 years here. And I thought, my goodness, wow. So thanks for not giving up, and thanks for being a participant and participating. And you know what? When we look around, you know, Joshua's not a young man. Joshua's about 80 years of age when he takes over here. Moses was an old man. In the New Testament, they tell us, you know, that the children need to learn from the elders. Talk about the elderly folks. And you know what? Our world will go to pot unless we help people understand God's truth. And that's what we've got to do, is share God's great truth and be involved in participating. So, Larry and Janice, we appreciate what you've done for this class, although we've just been here to experience that just for a little while. Okay, anything else? Can we do the birthdays now? Oh, okay.
First of the month.
All right, yeah, we already did the birthdays. Yeah, we already did last week.
Sorry, did you get that left out? I'm sorry.
No, November. All right. Okay, anything else? All right, let's pray, and then let's transition over to the sixth chapter of Joshua, although I want us to start with Matthew 4:4 first. Yeah, we'll get to the prayer time after the Sunday school lesson. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, because you love us. You demonstrate that through your Son, Jesus. You're always the giver. You always have a gift. May we accept that gift, receive that gift, take that gift, and make our lives better because of it. Jesus, we're thankful for salvation, for all that it entails, like forgiveness of sins, like having a place called heaven, for redemption. We're thankful, God, for what salvation does for us. Just thank you, Jesus, that you were faithful, committed, and that you loved us so much that you made an ultimate sacrifice to put us first. I'm thankful, God, that you love all people. And may we be as loving and generous in our heart as you. And may through this church we learn to be better people, better servants, more able to do what you want us to do. And Father, help us to be actively involved, participating in your plan, because you have a plan for us. You need us, and you want to utilize us in that process. So thank you for your word today and its truth. And thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his name, we lift this prayer to thee. God, let the words of our mouths, the meditations of our heart, be acceptable in your sight, because you're our Lord, you're our strength, and you're our Redeemer. Amen. Okay, I said Matthew 4:4 first. We'll go there. So if you would just turn there for a moment. I want us to see, and it's Psalms 119, the longest Psalms that's there, the one that uses the Hebrew alphabet as an acronym as it moves through. It's a wonderful psalm, but there's some verses that we'll do in Psalms 119, beginning with verse 72. We'll look at those in just a moment. But Matthew 4:4, would somebody please read that for us?
Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Okay, that's important, I think, for our lesson today, and I thought I'd hear that. That's Jesus speaking and telling us that great truth. Then if we move over to Psalms 119, that big, long psalm, that all those little words above there, that's the Hebrew alphabet. But there's in verse 72, there's something that I want to call our attention to, and then we'll look at verse 103 and then 127. So if somebody would read from Psalms 119, verse 72 for us.
Amen.
All right. Then verse 103. Someone. Psalms 119. Longest chapter of Psalms. Psalms 119. Verse 103. Right. And then verse 127. Somebody read that one. Psalms 119, 127. So in the verses we just read, Matthew 4:4, Psalms 119, verse 72, 103, and 127, what would you say the Word of God is saying to us there? Valuable His Word is to us. And hopefully we know that. There's a couple of things I want to say. I wanted to thank you for your Christmas envelope you gave me and Mary here at the Christmas party. So thank you for that. I failed to mention that last week. And then a few weeks ago I mentioned Dr. Tony Evans to you. And just so happens somebody brought this to my attention too. I didn't see it at the time a couple of weeks ago that I think when I said that, he's our general editor here. Tony Evans is our general editor here. So I'm excited about that. In fact, I heard him talking this past week. I happened to flip on it while I was driving. I caught most of a sermon that he was preaching on some channel called 90.9. Y'all familiar with that channel? 11:30? Yeah. 90.9. There was him speaking about darkness and light and excellent words. I just always appreciate him, and I'm excited that he's our general editor here, or at least it says that on mine. So let's pay attention to that. So we know what's going to happen here in chapter 6 of Joshua, but let me ask you this. Let me ask you this first. What is going to happen? What's going to happen in Joshua chapter 6?
Jericho.
And remember, they just crossed over the Jordan. Okay, there's a J. They just crossed over the Jordan, and straight ahead is what? Jericho. Now Jericho's been there thousands of years. This is a great city, a fortified city. Probably, you know, in certain places stands 25 feet tall, about 20 feet deep. That's going to be a hard wall to break down. 25 by 20, that's pretty big to me. Pretty big. But it's there, and it's been there a long time. And we're going to see this in the city was told, don't rebuild the city. God told them, don't you rebuild that city. But He didn't say anything about the prairie lands out there, or the farmland out there. And so we see that people, even Jesus came through Jericho. And we know He met a guy, I believe, called Nicodemus in Jericho. And there were some other things that the New Testament tells us about Jericho, too. But we know about that battle that was fought in Jericho. And that's what this is about. So let me ask you this question, because earlier in the week on our Sunday school lesson, I was taking a look at it. I wrote this question down. Does Joshua know what is going to happen? Okay. Somebody else want to say something or elaborate on that? Okay, that's the important part. He believed what God said.
Israel had mountains, and the sea just backside. But that Jericho was fortified because of the powers of the east. If they wanted to attack it, that was the fortification city.
Okay. So above the Dead Sea, you know...
like Miami.
Okay.
Florida.
Let me turn this way. Above the Dead Sea, to the west... You know, just about kind of northwest would be Jericho. And if you come across, I look at it that way. I draw a line from the top of the Dead Sea and come straight over and run into the city Jerusalem, pretty close. So you got Jericho that's to the northeast of Jerusalem, just so we get our geography right there. So Yeah, I think Joshua kind of knows what's going to happen, but he hadn't seen that yet. Because God's going to do something unique. He's going to use some unique weapons here. This is a different kind of warfare that he's going about. Remember last week we said there were 4 points that we talked about that I wanted to share with you, and I've got 4 I want to share with you today too. First of all, God is with Joshua. Not just was with Joshua, but he is with Joshua. So if God was with Joshua, he's with us. Then we talked about the centerpiece of Joshua's faith. And do you remember what that was, the centerpiece of Joshua's faith? It was the Word of God. And he was to meditate on the Word of God. How? How was he to meditate?
Daily.
Daily. Day and night. Meditate. Follow God's instructions. Don't disobey it. But also, share the Word of God with others. That was the centerpiece. And that should be the centerpiece of our faith as well. Well, we're looking at these battles today. And we may not be fighting battles like Joshua. But we're fighting battles. Skirmishes. Little battles. I hate those little battles. Sometimes the bigger things are easier to face, but it's those little things. And you just saw it seems like every day I gotta make a phone call or I gotta call somebody or there's something I gotta check on, there's something I gotta do, or something's not working, or something needs to be tightened, or something needs to be fixed. It's frustrating sometimes. So yeah, we are fighting battles. What battles do we fight? What battles would you say that we fight?
Traffic.
Traffic, yeah. Don't get run over. What else?
Family issues.
Family issues. Oh, yeah. Even at Christmas. I'm still trying to figure out from one of the kids, what are we going to do at Christmas? Hello? You know, Dad, I'll let you know. Okay.
Unity.
Yeah, unity. Yeah. Well, and Satan does that too. He's in control of the airwaves. He's in control of the air. So Satan has a way of working and manipulating to keep us from knowing the truth. God wants us to know the truth. The truth is out there. Martin Luther, you know, God worked in his heart and told him the truth will set you free. Wow. He believed that. What were you going to say, Mary?
I don't know if I was saying it or not.
Uh-oh.
Sometimes I have to, it's not fight my patients, but some patients don't want to listen to me.
Oh.
When I tried to teach them how to take care of themselves, I had several instances of that Friday.
All right. So here are 4 things that I want us to hold together today. Faith, belief, judgment, salvation. And really, it's faith in God that I want to say. So that would be our first point. And some of what we miss in Scripture starts in chapter 2. And Joshua sends out spies to go into Jericho to check it out. Do you remember how many spies he sent out? No?
2.
Yeah, he sent out 2. This was Joshua. Why do you think he sent out 2? I think it's because Joshua and Caleb, you know, were 2 that came back and brought a positive report. He said, why send out 12? You know, I'm just thinking there for a moment. Why send out 12? So he sent out 2, and right away we learn about a woman. What was her name? I'm sorry?
Rahab.
Yeah, Rahab. And what do we know about her? She was called what? Yeah, the Bible's clear. They call her a prostitute. Rahab. Almost every time they mention Rahab, they mention she's a prostitute. But something had happened in her city. Now notice, this city of Jericho, this foundation that's been there for a long time, God says, I want you to move into this promised land. I want you to move into Canaan. I want you to move into this land, go forward into this land that flows with milk and honey. And the first battle that they were going to face, and you know, To me, it seemed easier to cross the Jordan and get over to the Promised Land, but all of a sudden, now you've got to go and fight. Because God says this is your land. And the Canaanites that were there, the folks that lived there in Jericho, were going to have to leave because it was Judgment Day for them. They've been given opportunity through the years, down through the centuries. They've been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And we know what about sin? What do we know about sin? Eventually it's going to what? I'm sorry?
Find us out.
Eventually sin will catch up with us. And that's when judgment comes. And judgment was coming to Jericho. Now, they were going to have 7 days when they could have done something. But in that second chapter, we read from chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. We see what all is going on before we get into Jericho. The spies were sent out. Rahab does what? To help the spies survive. She hides them, yes. She hides those spies. But right away, the government knows about it. The leaders find out about it. And they come and knock on her door. What do they ask Rahab? Where are they? She said what? I don't know. I think they got away. They've already left. They're gone. Now, I guess they thought, well, she must be right. Because we don't really see any antagonist. We're like, hey, let's search your house out. You know, we're the Gestapo. We're gonna check what's behind the doors here. So she protected them. Why? Why did Rahab protect these two spies?
Benefit.
Yeah, right.
Okay, she knew that they were sent from God.
Yeah, right. Yes, she knew. She knew that these men were of God. And so she was changing her atmosphere. She was changing her countenance. And she didn't want the false gods that were part, you know, of the idol worship that was part of the city of Jericho. She wanted those who were truth. She wanted God. And so she took God. This is important because it's salvation. And we're going to see that God cares about it. Not just Rahab, he cares about her family too. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31. You remember that verse? Can someone quote that one for us? Acts 16, verse 31. Well, I'm trying to think of it myself. What does he say there? Believe what? On the Lord, and thou shalt. And what? What else does it say? Thy house. Oh, we can't forget that part. To me, that's the most significant part there. God's not only saying, not just you, but I'm interested in your family. When we go down through the history, God always, when he was invited into a home, the whole family came into the fellowship. Not just one person. God's interested in our family. Aren't you glad about that? I've got a brother, my oldest brother, that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. Breaks my heart. There are folks that I know that don't believe in Jesus, and it breaks my heart. I want them to know Christ. God's interested in the whole family coming in to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Well, they cross over that Jordan. They set up a memorial of 12 stones. They also got rid of manna. Remember, they've been eating manna for 40 years. Can you imagine the same thing every day? I don't know about you, but boy, wasn't that a spread back there a moment ago? Thank you. Thank you, folks, for fitting. Boy, there was plenty to find back there to reach the taste for your palate. There was plenty there. They didn't have that. They didn't have a buffet. The buffet was going to be there in the land of Canaan. It was the same thing every day. What are we having? What are we having? My mama used to fix something called goulash. Any of you know what that is? There you go. Yeah. Goulash. Can I tell you what? When the money ran low, it was goulash. And there was a lot of goulash.
Heavy on the sauce.
Yeah, heavy on the sauce. I'm not even sure it was heavy on the sauce, but it was goulash. I ate a lot of that as a kid. Maybe why I don't eat much of it today. So they had this manna day in and day out. Then Joshua gets his instructions in the first part of chapter 6 here, and we find out what he's supposed to do. There's some great verses, and we learn about faith in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 6. It's a faith that believes God's Word and God's instructions. Oh, personalize that. Do I believe God's Word? Do I follow His instructions? You know, I look at some people who tried to impress God, and boy, they looked good. That rich young ruler came. He had a pedigree that would just be outstanding. He would have been, you know, oh, he's 99.9% faithful. That's just not good enough in God's territory. God wants us to be 100% faithful and committed to Him.
Well,
then verses 6 through 11, which not part of our text, but it's in this chapter. It's a faith that obeys God. We see them taking these instructions and put them to work, and they're fixing to go to work, and their weapons are going to be the fact that they shout and they got trumpets. Now, if we loaded up our military today and said, here's what we want you to do, folks, we're going to shout, and I've got some trumpets here. Who can play the trumpets? Because that's going to be our weapons. We're going to go to the foreign land, and we're going to use these trumpets, and we're going to use these shouts. And most of you would say, what? Get rid of that general. Throw the guy out. And you know what? God's people had to be thinking the same thing. And I don't know about you, but sometimes God asks us to do things that kind of seem a little crazy. Right? But we need to do them. We win our battles, Warren Wiersbe said, on our knees and on our faces before the Lord. Do you know what that is? It's called prayer. And that's having a relationship with God, where the two of us aren't separate, integral parts, but where Jesus, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, where we all come together. And it's as if we're one. In a relationship with God. Well, it says in verse 12, and this is our text for today, it says that Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took the Ark of the Lord. What does the Ark of the Lord represent? Yeah, the Ten Commandments are there. Yeah, His presence. His presence. God's presence is there in the Ark of the Covenant. That Ark would sit in there in the Holy of Holies. That represented the presence of God. He was there. So here's a strong, fortified city. Here are these weapons of shouting and trumpets. They're sitting 25 feet up, so the Canaanites, they can look out and they can see what's coming. Now, the Israelites, or the Jewish people of that day, probably were at least a couple of million. And most likely the 2 million didn't run around that. It would take about 20 to 30, maybe 40 minutes to walk around Jericho. And boy, if 2 million got out there, it would take a long time for all of that. Like, you know, that's more folks that are running this race today. See, you got all these people, but God's going to tell us in His Word what they do. And the seven priests, carrying seven trumpets, marched in front of the Ark of the Lord, verse 13. While the trumpets were blowing, the armed troops went in front of them, and the rear guard went behind the Ark of the Lord. So it's kind of telling us that not everybody's there, but I bet the people were there. And when Jericho was looking, they heard about God's people, and that God was coming their way, their direction. They already knew that from the spies being there in the earlier chapters. And by the way, those two spies got out. Because of Rahab. Got back to safety. God was with them. And so there's something about being faithful and obedient. But look at the word seven Seven in the Bible means divine perfection. Not just perfection, but divine perfection. It means completeness. And that's the word I like the most when I think of seven. It's completeness. One day, God's going to make me complete. He's going to make me perfect. He's working on me right now. But there's coming a day when you, when I, when we're all going to be complete in Christ. But seven, boy, what a big number here. The Hebrew word is Shabbat. And it comes from the root to mean full or to be satisfied. I don't know about you, but that's how I like to be. Amen. Full and satisfied when I get up from a little table, you know, a little buffet. So there are seven priests, seven trumpets, 7 days, 7 trips around the wall of on the seventh day. And in Revelation, when the seventh trumpet is sounded, what's going to happen? The battle's over. When that, remember, there's chaos after that sixth trumpet sounds. But boy, when that seventh trumpet sounds, the battle's over. And judgment's coming to these folks, and they don't know it. Judgment was coming to the folks in Noah's day, as Peter told us about Noah's day, and those folks that were outside the ark that never got in, judgment came to them. For some reason, we think judgment's not coming in our world today. Well, you know, it's been several thousands of years. Well, God's not coming back. There is no Jesus going to return. Oh, don't believe that. Believe God's word and God's truth. Remember Moses? He was up on Mount Sinai for 7 days before God spoke to him. The armies of Syria and Israel in the Old Testament stood against each other for 7 days before they went into battle. Job's friends sat with him 7 days before they began to speak. And he probably wished once they began to speak that it would have been 70 years. Faith in God. These verses that we're looking at, 12 and 13, are teaching us that faith is patient and endures to the end. That's what we want to do. We want to endure to the end. We want to be patient with our Lord. Remember Thomas? Thomas wasn't patient. Remember in the upper room after Christ had died on the cross? What did Thomas say? Yeah. I need to do what before I believe? Yeah, he wanted to see. Seeing is believing. That's what the way it is with a lot of folks. But you know what? Thomas missed out on something. Because Jesus gave us a verse that I think is important for us today. I think it was spoken so that we would know that. Jesus said what to Thomas? I'm sorry? He said, blessed are what?
Those that are poor in spirit.
No. Blessed are those that have not seen, yet believe. Thomas missed out on that. He could have just accepted it, but he just had to take it a little longer. Now he had a great statement, oh my Lord, my God. Once Jesus came in, he didn't need to touch. Ooh, beat this thing up. It's alive, it's alive. Remember Naaman? Just write it down. 2 Kings chapter 5. You know about Naaman. You can read in your concordance, pick up his name out. And remember there was Elijah, not Elijah. Elijah was first. And you know that just simply knowing your alphabet. That's how I learned. Elijah, the J, comes before the S of Elijah. So if it works in the alphabet, by golly, God was helping me out in the Bible too. So Elijah was first, and here's Elisha. And Naaman comes to him, and Elijah simply sent the word to him. He got all upset. Remember that? What a great chapter to read that whole thing. And the guy that goes after him, Gehazi, that was part of Elijah's troop there. Elijah didn't even speak to Naaman. He, well, I'm a warrior. You won't even come out and talk to me? He said, you go just dip in the pool 7 times in that dirty old water over there. He said, my goodness, I could go back home. I got clean water I can dip in. But how many times did he tell him to dip? Oh, my. What if he stopped on the 5th time and said, this ain't working? Wouldn't work. So there's something about that seven, isn't it? Completeness. Do you want to be complete? Do you want to be complete? Be patient. Just endure. Sometimes we're so impetuous, we just can't wait. And these folks were told to be quiet. Don't speak. Could you imagine that group? Can you imagine what it was like just to be quiet? March around, blow the horns. And the folks inside the city, what were they thinking? They had to be scared at first. But I'm thinking somewhere along the line, and I don't know that. I don't know what they were thinking inside that camp. But in Jericho, I think, you know, about the third day, they started to say, hey, come look. It'll take 20, 30 minutes. They're going to blow their horns. That nauseating sound, we got to hear that for a while. I guess that would be like our alarms going off in our house. You know, these horns were blowing. No, I don't. I was going to say that. I don't think it says that. That's you're thinking of another time when they had the pots. That was with Gideon, wasn't it? Yeah, Gideon. That's a great part to read too. And if I was you, I'd read Ephesians. Not only reading all through Joshua here, but go read the book of Ephesians. See what Paul has to say in relation to trusting God and His Word and His truth. So let's look at verse 14. On the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. Verse 15. Early on the seventh day, they started at dawn and marched around the city 7 times in the same way. That was the one day they marched around the city 7 times. Now, this must have really got the folks inside kind of, what is going on? Look, they're not leaving. And they must have thought, how many days are they going to do this? They didn't have ladders and... Think about it. God's people were folks that were a nomadic tribe. They were out in the desert. They didn't have ladders to set up there or batting rams. What do you call that? Battering rams that knock the door down and get into the city? That wasn't their defense. And after the seventh time, the priest blew the trumpets, and Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given. There's that word, that verb given. God is always a giver. God has given you the city. Can you imagine those two? I think that the 2 million folks that were out there, or how many millions there were, those folks begin shouting. Can you imagine? I mean, you go to a football stadium now, and the crowd of what, 100,000, just shouts, and the quarterback can't hear, you know, and so he's trying to signal with the, you know, what the play is. I imagine those New York Yankee fans out there today, the Giants, are going to be sitting there hoping that they're making so much noise that our man Dak Prescott can't hear. Hey, Frank, it! Oh, what a shout that had to be. And it must have frightened those people that something dramatic happened. Verse 17, but the city and everything in it are set apart to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and everyone with her in the house will live. I love that. Everyone with her. Her family. In the house will live because she hid the men we sent. But keep yourselves from the things set apart, or you will be set apart for destruction. If you take any of those things, you will set apart the camp of Israel for destruction and bring disaster on it. Well, in the very next chapter, if you go and sneak ahead and just read verse 1 of chapter 7, it starts. Because right here there was one man. You remember his name? Yeah, he was. He was Achan. A whole lot after this. Achan didn't follow God's instruction. Kept a little booty. Kept a little of the bounty. Kept a little of the gold and silver, the iron, or those metals. And God said, man, you can make idols out of that. We don't want you to do that. Then verse 19, for all the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are dedicated to the Lord and must go into the Lord's treasury. You know, God actually is asking for us to be faithful as we get started on a brand new, last week, a brand new program here of fueling the fire. God wants us to be faithful with what He's given to us. Just equal sacrifice. I can't give what a billionaire or a millionaire gives, or some folks that got a lot of money. I don't really get a paycheck. I don't work. I'm retired. I'd like to have that money back. But they're not going to send it to me. You know, hey, your name's off the list here, buddy. Sorry about that. I'd love to have it. But what I do have, that portion that God's asked of me needs to go into His treasury. Right? Verse 20, so the people shouted and the trumpet sounded, and when they heard the blast of the trumpet, the people gave a great shout, the wall collapsed, the people advanced into the city, each man straight ahead, and they captured the city. So when we accept God's plan, we invite God's presence, and you know what? That guarantees victory.
Amen.
Thank you, sir, because it's true. They completely destroyed everything in the city with the sword, every man, woman, both young, old, every ox, sheep, and donkey. Hey, remember, folks, they've been given the opportunity. For 7 days they had the opportunity to repent. Rahab did, and her family and her were saved. But they didn't repent because they were, you know what? They were caught up in their culture. They were caught up in their world. They were caught up in the way that life was. It doesn't matter. God doesn't make any difference anymore. I mean, they've been brought up that way for a long time. Joshua said to the two men who had scouted the land, go to the prostitute's house and bring the woman out of there and all who are with her, just as you promised her. Verse 23, so the young men who had scouted went in and brought out Rahab and her father, mother, brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her whole family and settled them outside the camp of Israel. They burned up the city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold, the articles of bronze and iron, into the treasury of the Lord's house. However, Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, her father's household, and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent to spy on Jericho. And she lived in Israel to this day. Let me ask you this question. What difference would it make if God fought our battles for us? What difference would it make if we invited God into the battles that we face? So I'm asking you. Okay, that's good if we do. We'd be more successful.
Always winners.
Always winners, yeah. Now, we're not perfect, are we? Yeah. In fact, the Bible tells us there's not one of us that does anything right. Not anything good. Well, we need the Holy Spirit to do anything good. That's why we need to be like Joshua and meditate on His Word day and night. Faith, as we looked at these verses, understands the judgment of God and the necessity for purity. In other words, separating ourselves from the world. We're not like the world. We shouldn't be like the world. I think that's the problem, as I read. That's what some of the people who are writing, some of the writers I looked at said. You know what our problem with our churches is today? You can't tell the difference between the world and the church. We all look alike. And we want to be alike. We want all the world to come in. Oh, yes, we do. We don't need to change from being God's people. So that's important. A faith that experiences victory through the power of God. A faith that saves and rescues believers from the judgment of God. That's what they did to help Rahab here. Rahab, and this is good for us. Rahab keeps calling her the prostitute. It doesn't matter about your sin. It matters about what? Your heart, yes. But it matters about who's the one that's going to help you with your heart. The Savior. Remember that. Didn't matter about her sin. It mattered about her Savior. She put her faith and trust in God. She changed. Her family changed. Where do we cast our lot? What are we doing today? Well, we need to have faith in God. We need to believe in God's Word. We need to realize there's a judgment for all of us. Our pastor's been preaching on that judgment. He's going to wrap it up telling us about judgment today. He's going to make this a book, this heaven stuff, later in the year. I think that's great. What a book to hand out to people. Tell them about heaven. Are you going to heaven? And then there's salvation that comes from the knowledge of accepting our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, any last comments from you on... Yes, ma'am.
Rahab's son was Boaz, and that son was he ordered
to marry Ruth, right.
Well, we're going to talk about Ruth later, but she, yeah, that lineage, that line, what... How can that be? That's the kind of Savior we have. Folks, don't take Him for granted. Make Him first in your life. Let's pray and then we'll take our prayer requests. Father, thank You so much for Your Word, its truth. And may we be found faithful. Thank You for Joshua, Lord, who teaches us so many great principles. And Father, there are battles going on. Little battles, big battles, battles of health, battles of age, battles of seeing our bodies change. There are things that are going on in our culture that we don't understand, the change that takes place, the people who deny You. But I pray, God, that Your Word will be strong in us and others will be able to see Jesus in us. And we will promote Christ wherever we go, unashamedly proclaiming Jesus. For it is His name. Amen. All right. So, prayer request for this morning. What prayer request do we have, folks? I want to remember Eric and Melba with their daughter. She's got surgery Tuesday. Dwayne's got surgery tomorrow. And, yes, sir?
I have a praise. Our youngest son, about 51, I think it is, and had a melanoma. And it was definitely a melanoma, and they got it. They say they got it all.